This is the Evolve Marriage Podcast, episode 32. Today, we're talking about why your partner doesn't apologize.
Hi, this is Kate.
And this is Eric.
And this is the Evolved Marriage Podcast,
where we have fun with growth and connection.
Thanks for joining us.
All right, let's go.
Hey, you.
Hey, everyone. Happy whatever day
good morning.
You're listening to this on.
Good afternoon.
Good evening. And good night.
Ugh, we're not getting into that Dave Chappelle thing again, or what is that?
That's the Truman Show.
Dang it.
That's okay, though.
I'm going to watch it one day.
You got Dave Chappelle on your mind.
My friend told me I need to watch it, so I will.
How are you feeling, Kate?
I'm feeling excited. Ooh. I was off today because our kids are home. Their classes are shut down because of COVID. So I'm home today and helping them out. And it was really nice. It was nice to be in that environment with them and see their new teachers and see them learning and active in their learning as much as they're going to be active. their teachers are very patient. So yeah, it was nice. It was nice to be home. Very refreshing. Got lots done.
Nice.
How are you feeling?
I'm also feeling good. Feel great. I was in a bit of a funk last week, but now just kind of, you know, firing on all cylinders, which feels good. A lot of different opportunities coming my way and just working my butt off, connecting with a lot of people. Enjoying the journey,
mm-hmm.
even though sometimes it feels like I have no clue what I'm doing.
Well, I think in life we don't usually have a clue what we're doing, Eric, because yeah. we're human. And
That's
we're
right.
always learning and growing.
Yeah, I remember when I finally got to the point where I realized that my parents had no clue what they were doing the entire time they were raising me.
We're like... So you actually were an idiot.
Right. It's like you were just like me. You had no clue what you're doing. And I only know that now because I have no clue what I'm doing.
Yes.
All right. So today we're talking about a very important topic.
Yes. Something very close to my heart, which is apologizing. Actually, it's close to your heart. Apologizing means a lot to Eric. And it's one of the things that's super important for him in our relationship. It's something that speaks to him a lot. And I was kind of brought up in a home where apologies were forced and we had to sit on a couch until we apologized. And then it was like, I'm sorry. And then we'd get up and move on with our day. So,
right.
So because of that, I'm like the worst person at apologizing. Like the worst.
I wouldn't say that, but
well,
yeah, it's a skill you're continually trying to master.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So today we're talking about why apologies are so important in your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
What tends to happen when you don't apologize in your marriage? And probably even deeper than that, we're going to get to really the reasoning why we typically avoid apologizing.
Right. Because sometimes we have this idea or this perception maybe of our spouse who doesn't apologize, that they like dislike us and that they're just like these bad people who just don't want to apologize. But sometimes there are some underlying things, you know, really underneath, hidden, that you might not realize. There is a reason your spouse isn't apologizing. It is a skill that takes practice, and there are things they need to be able, hurdles they need to be able to get over in order to learn to apologize.
The fact that your partner's not apologizing really has nothing to do with you.
Oh, exactly.
Right?
A lot
of it has to do with family of origin and their own beliefs and the stories they're
Absolutely.
Making up in their head about power dynamics and all that stuff. So we're going to dive deep into that. And then,
yeah, and creating awareness around that. I think it's so important for the partner who's not receiving apologies to understand, like, it's not about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And lastly, we're going to finish the episode with giving you what we call the four-part apology, which I'm sure a lot of people know. This is something that we're taught as little kids, but I think we, you know, like most things we're taught as little kids, we forget.
So let's dive into that. Why are apologies so important?
Yeah, so I think number one, you know, when we think about apologies, typically they're after we've overstepped or after conflict. And I often think about apologizing in terms of repair,
mm-hmm.
right? I think it's an opportunity to really own your side of the street.
Absolutely.
And it can be a great way to rebuild trust. And so oftentimes what I say is, you know, the shortest amount of time that you have between conflict and an apology is the best way to build trust, right?
Right.
So if you're able to apologize 20, 30 minutes after you've done a conflict, well, oftentimes there's no trust that really gets broken, right? Unless it continues to happen over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes what happens is, you know, if we have conflict and we wait days, for some of us weeks, right, before we apologize.
Or apologize at all.
Right. Well, then the trust can continue to slide and continue to be broken,
right.
which really creates an unhealthy dynamic.
Yeah, because what happens when we don't apologize is our spouse usually feels ignored.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like they're not being seen. They're not being understood. They feel like what you just did was something you either swept under the rug or didn't even notice at all. So they're like, it goes back to, am I important? Do you see me? Do you want me? Well, if you're not apologizing, that person's not feeling important. They're not feeling seen, and they're definitely not feeling wanted, because they're thinking, well, why am I not worthy to get this apology from the person who's supposed to love me the most in this world? Like, they hurt me. They really, you know, dug deep and hurt me, but they're not coming forth and taking ownership for what they did. They're not taking, you know, action to repair something they did to me. And that can be really hurtful, and it can leave you feeling very lonely and vulnerable. And the longer it goes on and the more often it goes on, like you said, Eric, like, it completely breaks trust in your relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think about, you know, this quote that I heard a long time ago, but it's, you know, you can choose to win the argument or you can choose to win the heart.
Yeah, I love that.
And I think a lot of times, you know, in those moments when we have frustration and we have resentment and all these stories that we have in our head kind of build up based on how negative our partner is, how they're in the wrong, we often forget that there's an opportunity to connect here, to come together, as long as we kind of let go of our pride, let go of our ego, and think about the long game. Yeah. But oftentimes what happens is we're so obsessed with the short game, i.e. I'm going to win this. I'm going to be the one that withholds love the longest here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to wait till the other person comes to me
right.
as a sign of power.
Right.
And this idea that if I hold the power, then I can control the relationship.
Yeah. And I truly believe that an apology should always be two ways. Mm-hmm. I don't think that any argument in your relationship truly merits one person apologizing and only one person. There's always two sides to the story. The reason your spouse did something was because of something they believed you did. And the reason you did something is because you believed your spouse did something. Therefore, you have as much part in the argument as your spouse did. So if you are sitting there and waiting for your spouse to apologize before you apologize, like you said, you're just winning a game you're going to lose. Playing a game you're going to lose. Woo! And so if you can go ahead and be the first to apologize and take that first step and really put yourself out there, it might encourage your spouse to apologize back.
You know, just as an example of what we're talking about, this idea of kind of owning your side of the street, something that often happens, you know, because you're often conflict avoidant. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of the one that puts the pressure, right? So I'm the one that's more intense. I'm kind of like a dog with a bone. Oftentimes in our conversations, from an outside perspective, it would seem like I'm the aggressor and I have to apologize.
Right.
But oftentimes what happens is after the conflict, what you apologize about is that you enabled some of that and you right. didn't set a boundary when you had to,
exactly.
right? Which we talk a lot about. Oftentimes you apologizing and say, hey, I saw a moment where I shut down and I didn't stop this.
Exactly.
I allowed it to continue. And that's on me, because I have the power at any point to say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to continue this conversation. I know where this is going. I'm going to step away. But in that moment, right, what you often express is, but my fear didn't allow me to do that.
Exactly.
And I'm sorry that I allowed myself to be led by fear. And then that kind of opens up to me to say, I'm sorry that I was unkind. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry that I also didn't catch myself in that moment.
Yeah.
Right.
And it would be very easy in those moments for me to see, well, Eric raised his voice and mm-hmm. he said some mean things to me and I'm the hurt one here. So I'm going to sit around and wait for his apology. But, you know, the important thing here is that one of us apologizes first. It doesn't matter who goes first. Doesn't matter if it's the person I perceive as the most hurt or he perceives as the most hurt. Somebody needs to go first. And like, the shorter the time between the conflict and the apology, the better it is. So be that leader. Be the person who's going to apologize.
Yeah, so I just want to say one last caveat, which I think is really important to say. Oftentimes, we are going to our partner and we're apologizing with this expectation that they want to apologize.
They're
going to
apologize back, yeah.
And yeah, there's actually a skill that you can grow, which we've talked about before with this idea of kind of walking the cube. But I think it's really important to express what's happening within you
mm-hmm.
and really give your partner that olive branch to see what's happening.
Right.
Because at their core, right, for most partners, right, who are in love, they want to reconnect with you.
Right.
And so it's really important for you to express what happened, right? So sometimes, you know, Kate and I will have a conflict and the next day her or me will send each other a voice memo or we'll tell the person like, hey, so what happened last night? Like, this is what was going on for me. And these are the thoughts that were coming up for me. And this is how this makes me feel. And what I want is to have a type of relationship where we kind of repair and we're able to lean on each other and help each other heal in these moments.
Right.
So, you know, I'm sorry for what I did because of da-da-da and this reason. And, this is what I want to do. Do you forgive me? And if your partner at that point doesn't want to forgive, that's okay. That's their prerogative right. that they need to work through.
Right.
But I also think that you need to be able to express how the situation made you feel mm-hmm. in order to really help your partner understand, like, oh, wow, my actions hurt this person that I love.
Right. And that's right. actually one of the points of that we're going to bring up. That's one of the reasons people don't apologize. So let's dive into
it. Yeah, go for it.
So there's five main reasons, according to us, that partners don't apologize. The first one being their pride. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people hold on to that pride, myself included, like it's the last thing they have on earth. So it sounds simple for some people to like, well, put your pride aside and apologize. But for some people, based off of things that have happened in the past, traumas, whatever that looks like for them, setting that pride aside can be extremely hard.
I do find as well, I see this a lot in people that tend to have perfectionist tendencies, mm-hmm. right? Because the pride is associated with that. And this yes. admittance that, you know, if you apologize, then you're wrong. And because you're wrong, you're not a perfect husband.
Exactly.
You're not a perfect wife. Right. And so oftentimes you would rather kind of ignore it, right? We see this a lot turn out in couples or in spouses that kind of try to ignore it, never really come back to resolving the issue, and then just go about their business like everything's great.
Right.
Right. Because those perfectionist tendencies are saying, hey, if I just ignore this, it's not going to be reality. I'll continue to wear this perfectionist mask.
Right. I'll still be a great wife if right. I don't admit that I did something wrong.
Exactly.
So yeah, definitely pride is a big factor in why people don't apologize. So the second one is weakness. So having to apologize shows up as a sign of weakness for some people. And what that looks like to them is they have to admit that they're wrong. They have to seem like they don't know everything, like they didn't do everything right, kind of like we were just saying. And they have to really be seen, you know, to take off that mask of like, you know, I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people walk around in this world with this perception that they have to show up as this strong, confident individual. So having to admit to something you did wrong and then later needing to apologize is so hard for some people.
Yeah. And I see a lot of this in people who are kind of hard chargers and they're all about strength, right? And independence. Oftentimes when there's an opportunity where they hurt somebody, mm-hmm. right? And somebody's hurt, instead of apologizing, their go-to response is, well, I'm not responsible for the way they feel.
Right.
Right. That's not on me. I can't make them feel anyway. And then they kind of use logic to essentially say, it's totally their fault that they're insulted. I'm just living my life and I'm just going through life right. and I'm not responsible for anybody else's feelings.
Exactly.
And that, for me, that's this idea of lack of ownership, right? Mm-hmm. Which is really a lack of strength. But it's really important to understand that you are constantly influencing and impacting other people.
Absolutely.
Right. And so I don't know that this idea of seeing it as a sign of weakness is really healthy. Instead, we need to understand that it takes a lot of courage to apologize.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
What's the third one?
The third one is shame. Mm-hmm. This one really goes back to a lot of times to family of origin. If they grew up as someone who used to apologize, or when they showed any sign of weakness or any sign of making a mistake, they were shamed for it. Those people really will tend to not apologize.
Oftentimes in those moments, right, we create this story in our head that, oh my God, I'm bad because I did this. And when we go to our partner, even if they don't shame us, you just kind of sit in that shame.
Exactly. So it doesn't matter what they say. The story in your head is you suck and yeah. you made a mistake. So
and if I keep
matter.
This in my head, it's safer than kind of putting it out in the world mm-hmm. and amplifying this story.
Yeah. And then that kind of leads us to the fourth one, which is their fear of consequences. Mm-hmm. So what a lot of people tend to do when they're avoiding apology is they're scared that if they say something, that their spouse will be more angry than if they said nothing. And that for sure falls back into family of origin and, you
right.
know,
and
how
we
you're raised.
And 100%. And when we're talking about consequence, right, we're not thinking about it necessarily like a child, but oftentimes it's this idea of withholding love, right? Maybe bringing it up constantly in the future mm-hmm. to use it as
making
a shame
feel
trigger.
Bad for it.
Right. So what you think is, hey, actually, if I don't say anything, mm-hmm. this might actually disappear and go away.
Yeah, or that classic thing of, if I don't tell him, he can't be angry about it.
Exactly.
But that's so dishonest, and that breaks trust in your marriage. And it's so important for us as the spouse to step up and to be honest about things and to apologize for it and take ownership of, yeah, you know, I'm human. I made mistakes. Mm-hmm. And that's, in those moments, that's what we need to remind ourselves of. Lastly, it's awareness. So the lack thereof. and what that means is usually the spouse who's not apologizing is lacking awareness of the way their actions impact others.
Right.
I think this is one of the most common ones. And when you fall into that category of not being apologetic because of a lack of awareness, it's really tough for your spouse.
Yeah. And I really want to hit on something that's really important here because, you know, oftentimes when your spouse comes to you and they say that you've, you know, that your actions, something that you did hurt them, right? This is really their perception of the event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that you brought that up.
Yeah, oftentimes we get into this mode where we try to understand, right? This is like a lot of defensive partners do this, right? They kind of throw back on their partner, well, explain to me why, like what is going on? Like, how did I do things? And then they're like, well, you did this. And like, why did this for this reason and this reason? And what we're not realizing is that there's an opportunity here, right? The person coming to you, your spouse coming to you and saying that they've been hurt by an action and how they perceived it, that's a bid for connection, mm-hmm. right? They're putting their heart out and they're saying, hey, I'm hurt. Are you willing to heal it? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes what happens is when we fall into that idea of like, try to help me understand how I'm at fault here. Like, right. Tell me how I'm at fault. I think you lose the whole idea. And instead you should just be able to say, hey, I didn't even realize that. I'm so sorry that my actions created this.
Absolutely.
So the big idea here that we really want you to take away is to understand that your partner is having a perception about an event, and it's really important for you to own that your actions, whether you had the intention or not to hurt them, your actions hurt them based on how they perceive the action. And so there's an opportunity for you to recreate a connection there and say, you know, oh, wow, I'm so sorry that my actions did that. I love you. What is something I could have done differently? Or do you forgive me? And that is a really lightning quick way to rebuild trust.
Absolutely.
Right. But when your partner comes to you and they say, hey, I'm hurt and this has happened. And you're like, well,
no, you're not. No, you're not.
Right. And you start to logically try to understand what's happening. You're breaching an opportunity for connection.
Right.
And then you get caught in the cycle, which we always call find the bad guy.
Right.
Right. Who's actually wrong? Who's actually right? Who did the wrong thing here? Who's suffering more? And that spiral cyclone never
ends.
It's
just a disgusting dance.
Yeah. So as we're finishing up, I really want to give you an idea how to apologize here in a really healthy way. It's a four-part apology. Number one, I'm sorry for, right? And this is the specific action you took. I'm sorry for sucking is not an apology.
Right.
I mean, it's a great start to an apology, to be honest.
I'm sorry is also not an apology.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm sorry for, and then the specific action that you did that caused some sort of discomfort or pain. And then you follow that up by, this was wrong because... And then the third part is, in the future, I will. And then lastly, it's, will you forgive me? So that's really the four part, right? I'm sorry for, this was wrong because, in the future, I will. And this is a commitment. Mm-hmm. And now it doesn't mean you always have to be perfect, but it does mean that now you have to own it
you
and create intention.
It your best shot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then will you forgive me is an option to really close the loop. Right. And really heal this in a great way.
Right. So change up the lingo however you want, whatever works for you. But keeping in mind those four principal ideas.
Super cheat code here, you know, that really works is when you do this four-part apology without your partner having to come to you. This happens to us sometimes in our marriage where something will happen. You know, Kate will do something or I'll do something that's hurtful. And we know that it's hurtful. Right. And then we follow up and say, hey, that thing I did, that's totally not cool. And it's like, I didn't even have to mention it. And you just came to me and apologized. And I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, you're so in tune with me and you're so in love with me and empathetic that you saw what happened. Mm-hmm. And so that's like a super cheat code, right? If you can start to notice your behavior and get to a place where you can own up to it and apologize without your partner having to say, I'm hurt, you know, for these reasons. Yeah, that is like a superpower. And you start to do that at rebuilding an amazing amount of connection.
Oh, yeah. You're definitely getting some points if you're doing that.
That's right. Yeah. So that's it for us on this episode today. I hope you really enjoyed it. For everything we do, check us out at evolvemarriage.com. But more than anything, please subscribe to this podcast, rate and review us if you can. and share it if you know somebody who you think can get value out of this. And don't always share it to your partner. That is not a good thing to just constantly be sharing episodes about personal growth.
Other people, you know, other people.
But otherwise, we will chat with you next week. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.